Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. Joel, let's start off big picture in the sense that it's been a couple weeks now where we have been hearing pretty negative comments on the markets, and understandably so. Markets broadly have been in a downtrend this whole year, and it's been more of an orderly sell-off where it's not just a flat-out crash. It's just been a stair-stepping downward motion. A lot of people blaming the lack of liquidity thanks to the Fed pulling away the punch bowl as the main reason. But there's a lot of other factors at play here. And the big takeaway that I've had over the last couple weeks, maybe even months, is that the overall strategy has changed. No longer is it buy the dip. It's more sell the rip and build up cash. What's your takeaway from this environment that we are in? Are you now on the side of sell the rip and build up cash? Or do you think that that low that we saw on Thursday could be a sustainable bottom?
Hi, guys. Hi, Shannon, Corey. Thanks for having me. You know, I guess it just depends on what type of investor you are, what your time horizon is, and what your goals. It's very hard to time the market. And it's definitely has turned into a you know, more of a sell the rip mentality. And when that is going to, if that's going to end, I don't know. But I tend to take what the market gives me, and I try and take that information and then plan my next move. Like, do I know that 38.55 is it not only a short-term bottom or a long-term bottom? I don't know that. When we were falling, my monthly charts, I do old-fashioned levels by hands. I had nothing to 3,500, right? But the market gave me new information. And that new information was last Thursday, 38.55, roared off the bottom to close on Thursday. Friday was a strong up day. So I have to assume on Monday, starting this week, that we may have a short-term bottom in. It was a tough day yesterday if you had that mentality because the market rallied up and had an extremely weak close. So when I see a move, the market's told me that it's a short-term bottom from now. If you were 200 points above it, now to me, I'll go to the other side. Okay, how much of the move since that Fed meeting is it going to take back? Is it going to take back half of the move? And I'm talking about from 4,300 down to 38.55. So if it takes back half of that move at 40.80, then I'll start looking for daily closes and daily highs. So I don't, I can't tell you that that this is a major low. We're going back to 4,800. I will say, it's going to take a long time to get back. Like, if you want me to come on your broadcast and tell you, yeah, by the end of the year, we're going back to new all-time highs. No, I can't tell you that because we're 800 points off all-time highs and there's still factors going on, Russia. Inflation. So until you get a turn in the inflation data, I know it was a little bit lower last time, then I can't confidently say that we're going back to all-time highs. What I say is we've developed a good rally. We beat the tar and feather some of these growth stocks. You did see capitulation in some of the mega cap last week, and that's coming back. So I think you're better off and still trying to say, oh, this is definitely sell the rip. Look and see what the market gives you, because if you sold the rip on Friday, you looked okay on Monday. But, now what are you doing? You're waiting for another rip. And also, I don't know people's penchant for shorting the market either, but very difficult to do.
Well, Joel, I do agree with you that I think it really comes down to somebody's style of investing or trading and whether they are looking at these short-term blips and trying to take action on it, or if they're more of a buy and hold value investor. I know you do a little bit of both. I mean, you have your longer term account that's really more buy and hold, but there are those investors that are a little more active traders. And since you follow technicals and you follow the fundamentals in the market, maybe just break down for people your philosophy of how you handle your longer term investing versus the short term blips and pips.
Well, my wife won't let me sell. There's one thing. And I've been in the markets for a long time. A lot of stuff that I put in my portfolio, I've been investing for a long time. I'll hold on, and I'll hold on for dear life. I have I have, you know, some regrets, and it was more my wife's calling something like Peloton. But you know, I don't put so much in one issue that it, you know, it's going to affect my overall portfolio, right? So I took a haircut on that. I'll let her figure it out. Unless I have a really strong inclination on something, I'll hold on to it for a long time. And that's turned out to be, you know, the best strategy, you know, since, you know, I'm a little bit older than you guys. I don't know what the demographics of your audience is, but the market has proved over the course of time that, you know, buy and hold, you know, is the best strategy. Of course, you got to, you know, if you're not got heavily into growth stocks, so I didn't have outsized gains, you know, when everyone was getting rich on the, you know, on the high, you know, on the meme stocks and the growth stocks. But on the other hand, when the market is getting killed, you know, my Lowe's and my Cisco and like some of these other things that I've had for 10, 15, 20 years, they don't go down as much. So, you know, unless I have a really strong like feeling about something like I had about Twitter, I'll hold on to something for a long time. And it's proved to work out. And I guess it's, you know, once again, I've said this 100 times on your show, way out in your investing horizon, young guys like you, you just got to buy it. There's no way. Unless you're a market wizard and you can time the portfolio, chances are you can time it, but getting in, getting out, you also have to keep into, you know, take into account your transactions costs. A lot of different factors. Very hard to time the market. And as I told you guys before, you know, the market tries to punish the most amount of people most of the time. So it's all up individually. I like my technicals. I like my retracements. For me to get wild, I mean, I am sitting on a good amount of cash. I guess if I see some kind of downtick in inflation, I mean, that would maybe make me a little apt to deploy some more cash. But just more, it's like, you know, the tortoise and the hare, you know, slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Joel, in the sense that if you can be a long-term holder, especially in the financial markets, they do come back, and they've shown us over the last couple of decades that they just continue to move to all-time highs. That being said, this selling pressure that we have seen, we're 5 months into this year, and we are down about 20%. So it's not like it's fully crashed here like something we saw during the COVID washout. When was the last time that you can remember this sort of constant down pressure? Was it back at the dot-com bubble? Was it back at the housing crash? Those all came pretty quick. How are you comparing this time to times past?
Well, the COVID was quick. You know, that was a V bottom. I guess at the end of 18, we had some pressure, a little bit of pressure on the markets. But you know, it's been, and you said this before, it's been a very orderly sell-off. So I certainly don't feel like I did, you know, during the financial crisis. And I certainly don't feel like I did during the tech bubble. I guess, you know, 9/11, you had to bounce after 9/11. And then, you know, the market sold off pretty hard. But I think if you take a diversified approach that, you know, and you weren't really heavy into growth stocks, then you really, or the super high tech, flying tech, you probably did getting killed as much. So it's just an order. I don't know. It's hard to draw a comparison. I can tell you it's not like, I'll tell you what it's not like. Definitely not like, you know, the COVID bottom or the financial crisis. I guess it would be, that's going back a long ways, I guess, to 9/11, but that was kind of the way the market was then. After you had the initial pop, it just kind of trudged lower for quite a while.
Yeah, Joel, and I think a lot of Invest Street or Bay Street or just a lot of people in trading houses are probably younger now and haven't lived through a legitimate corrective move in the markets for so long. We've had 12 years of easy money from the Fed. We've had kind of an artificially pumped up market that the Fed's liquidity had caused things to be too big to fail, or the bailouts, or, you know, and so it's been a little unorderly in the sense that it was pushed to the upside for so long. So now we're seeing an actual correction. I wouldn't consider the pandemic crash a correction. And the 08, 09 situation was more of an implosion. So this is more like the dot-com bubble kind of cracking down, something like that. But yep. I know that when you're trying to manage your risk, you're using technicals to manage your risk. At what point would you protect capital then if you saw a negative pattern setting up in a technical sense? If you're always invested or always in the markets, how do you protect against the downside when you see those patterns show up in the market?
I mean, you got to just raise more cash. It's that the option markets are so pricey and so hard to do it. It's my cash level and raising more cash is really the only thing you can do. And I mean, go to the bank, get a little bit more on, you know, your CDs and stuff right now. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you're trying to puts and you got to do the put spreads because of the decay. I had a good amount of options and, you know, during COVID, February options that, you know, I should have rolled the dice a little bit longer. So I just think it's raising cash and not putting, you know, new cash to work, I think is the best hedge, really.
Okay. Hey, that's saying a lot, though, because that is a bit of a different strategy, right, than what we've seen throughout this easy money policy or these easy money decades. Joel, you mentioned that if you saw inflation data come down, you think that would provide a necessary or a needed boost to the markets. What else are you looking at? Because we do continue to get data. Today we had retail sales. Any takeaway from the retail sales number that you think is market important or any other data you're going to be watching for?
It's the CPI data. I mean, that's what took us down. You know, I think people are still spending. You know, I think that you know, the COVID, you know, people are traveling. You know, travel stocks have not reacted as well. So, yeah, I think it would be the inflation data. I mean, I always keep an ear out for, you know, layoffs and unemployment, you know, because that's what, you know, everyone's worried about, you know, the imminent recession / depression. So I'd say CPI, employment data, and the last tick in the S&P 500 at the end of the day is what I keep an eye on. And then the overnight action. I don't see any, you know, the war in Russia too, China. I mean, I want to, you know, them going into Taiwan or something, you know, is definitely, there's so many things that are out of your control that, you know, the things that you can control are what you have in the market, how much cash you have, you know, and how what your asset allocation is. So I'd say the inflation data pretty much is what I'd be focusing on.
Okay. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. It gives us a little more, I think, hope for these markets, too, because, boy, oh, boy, there's been a lot of negativity that has come in for technical traders, for everybody, as they've all watched their accounts melt down to a certain degree. Last couple of days have been a bit encouraging, but, yeah, we'll see where this all goes, because there still does seem to be some downward pressure on these markets in pretty much every sector. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you. Talk to you guys next week.